Welcome to MJ13. Been a long time since the last English episode. This is your host. My name is Chuck Fei. Welcome. Tonight we have a lot of mind-blowing information. I'm sure the information is gonna blow your mind today. And tonight we have our guest here, Mr. Neil Glue from Hong Kong Exopolitics. Neil, how are you?
Fine, thank you, Chuck.
Okay, let me do a little introduction first. Neil, Mr. Neil Glue is the founder of Exopolitics Hong Kong website, director of the Exopolitics Institute founded by Dr. Michael Saylor in the States, director of ICA, the International Community for Alien Research, a member of Exopolitics World Network. Neil also holds a diploma in exopolitics. He has also written a book called Close Encounters of the ADHD Kind. He do a lot of lectures at conference. He is an exopolitical filmmaker and also expert commentator in exopolitical affairs. I also like to remind you, exopolitics is a political science which examines the social and the political implications of ET life engaging our planet. Neil, welcome.
Thank you very much, Chuck. Very nice to be here.
Yeah. Okay, the reason I need you here today is because I read a headline from a popular website, Rhetorian Today. On the website, there is a guy named Gordon Dove, the senior editor, who posed a headline. And as the headline, it rose like the UFO war. The U.S. Navy team up with the Chinese Navy having a war off coast of San Francisco. I don't know what is the word I can use to describe this. It's completely crazy. That's why I give you a call and you said there is a lot of information we should aware.
That's right. Right, Chuck Fei. So, really, to examine this whole episode from an exopolitical point of view, we have to look at all the actors, all the testimony, and all the evidence to come to a conclusion. So, what I propose we do, we start off by listening to what Gordon Duff. We'll also have to examine what John Kettler has to say. It's very similar to Gordon Duff. We'll then look at what the ufologists have found in Brazil. We'll then also look at the whole story of Admiral Byrd. We'll come on to that. We'll then come on to Wernher von Braun, the father of rocketry at NASA, who was a German Nazi taken to NASA after the war. We'll also bring in some testimony from Carol Rosen from the Disclosure Project. And then at the end of the program, we'll tie all the pieces together and come to the conclusion. Pictures. Okay, so who's Gordon Duff? Okay, we established he was the editor of the Popular Veterans website, but he was also associated with the military. He was also associated with the United Nations at some point,
right?
And apparently was part of the Special Forces.
Yeah, you told me he used to be a Navy SEAL.
This is what we understand, of course, from some of our research. And what he's claiming, of course, is that there's joint naval task forces in the Antarctic that are battling with UFOs. He's also provided information that he was party to a briefing document during the 1980s, and he's always talking about unnamed government agencies, unnamed sources, unnamed this, unnamed that. He never gives you a concrete source of where he gets his information from. But anyway, he was looking at these briefing documents and apparently put together by MJ12, you're MJ13. But MJ12 was basically the group put together to manage the extraterrestrial presence on the planet. And, of course, to control the worldview. Now, he's come across some references to various treaties of ET civilizations that have interacted with us and have made what they call, you know, coercive agreements with the US government. In other words, agreements that are forced upon them. Or heavy agreements, maybe one-sided. And what these actual agreements are actually saying is that these ETs came and they said, look, we would like to let you know that we will be abducting some civilians bringing them back. This is the kind of coercive agreement they're talking about. Now, Duff claims he has very, very, very high levels of security clearance. But again, he puts everything down to unnamed agencies. You know, he never tells you exactly where it comes from. But he's most adamant that he's in the know, that he has these military and also unofficial, maybe extraterrestrial contacts. So he's really talking about documents that he was party to from 1947 to 1977. Now, some of these agreements were really quite frightening, because you're talking about extraterrestrials abducting humans, butchering them, and perhaps not coming back again. Mm. I mean, this is what Duff and the other guy are talking about. He was talking about this being so horrific, in fact, that it's really, really not easy to read or to listen to. You don't want to hear it. You know, agreements with extraterrestrials that take humans off planets, being probed. Who knows what, you know, what he's alleging had happened. On the other hand, let me just slip in here, because I mentioned Brazilian ufologists, because I have been talking to one particular one recently who has been relating to me from his own research, and we all know about these UFOs that flew around the Amazon with beams of light burning people on the ground, temporarily blinding them, and in fact some bodies have been found with the organs cut off, the eye sockets ripped out, just like you see with animal.
Yeah, just like the cattle mutilations. That was from Mexico, right?
Those are from United States and Mexico, all around there. This has been going on with animal mutilation. Yeah. But what was surprising was that this particular Brazilian ufologist, well-known, very established, was actually so horrified by the findings of his research that in his mind, he's looking at this whole extraterrestrial affair of these ETs engaging this planet as being totally negative because of what his findings were. And he's also working with the Brazilian military. They share the information. So on the one hand, you have Duff coming up with this excessive stuff. On the other hand, we now have Brazilian well-known researcher also sort of talking not about UFO wars with military and navy of America and China, etc. He's talking about ETs that are killing people, which is actually quite amazing. But anyway, we just take that in and we can come back to that later. We also have a gentleman called John Kettler. He was also a former military contractor and scientist. And he's also saying in various articles that these UFO wars are happening, you know, off Antarctica. And again, he's also talking about unnamed sensitive sources who substantiate his claims, that are saying that these wars are huge battles that are taking place. For example, he said, the UFO war continues to expand with heavy action in the Antarctic Ocean, according to highly sensitive sources. No name of who they are. Two submarines of the Chinese People Liberation Army have been slammed together, resulting in injuries. No deaths, but injuries. Then he goes on, Kettler, to claim, this is what he says, last night 20 UFOs traveling at 25,000 miles an hour left the Antarctic Ocean in a group and went to Mexico. Another group of 15 flying at the same speed went to Argentina. 12 more went to Chile. Now, we know that Duff has made very similar comments. So the two of them are going hand in hand. They're not necessarily working together, but the output of what they're saying is very, very similar.
Yeah.
And Kettler's continuing with more and more articles. I mean, he's also saying that now naval forces, including the U.S. Navy, the Chinese Navy, the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force, the Republic of Korean Navy, the Republic of Taiwan Navy. He's talking about 200 ships, including two U.S. Air Force carriers, frigates, cruisers, submarines, and, you know, support vessels that are really supporting this whole initiative and allegedly fighting UFOs. Now, Kettler's also talking about, you know, it goes from absurd, as you say, to completely ridiculous. He's now saying that the UFO wars have changed because he's now reporting that there has been a reptilian attack.
Even the reptilians attack?
He's talking about a reptilian attack. And he's saying that the reptilians took out a U.S. frigate and 250 people were perhaps missing, killed, or whatever. And no survivors. But no reptilians have been found either. No dead reptilians have been found. So, and he's also saying that one person who came forward to disclose all this went crazy, absolutely crazy. You know, and he's sort of threatened to kill himself because he went so crazy. And what they're also referring to are some of these beings being called blobs. Now, that reminds me of the old United Nations disclosure we're supposed to have when they said these generals and admirals were meeting in the UN and some extraterrestrials came to the meeting. One of them was a blob. And of course,
What do you mean by blob? That reminds me of the movie with the same name I watched a long time ago. And it seems to me like it's a piece of things with bubble and slime or something like that.
Exactly. Well, they're talking about this like blob, this like piece of dough, this bubble thing that's highly intelligent. They have anti-gravity craft. They can work underwater. They have no force fields, but they're very, very tough. And apparently the engineering is superb. They live bottom of the ocean at around about 30,000 feet, he's alleging. And they don't have space travel capabilities, but they used to have. And they're trying to get it back.
Mm.
So again, these claims from Kepler are, there's no real source that we can pinpoint to find out exactly if this is true. So, you know, we look at Kepler's background. I mean, he's got a very interesting background, working with advanced tactical fighters, advanced close air support programs. He claims special access programs. He claims incredible top secret clearances. He claims so much. And really, what he's saying, the gap between what he's claiming that he can do and the clearances that you need to do it, I think is too wide. Mm. So for my mind, I don't really buy a lot of what he says.
Yeah, but he claims those information are from military, high-sensitive military information.
He claims, correct. He claims. So we have a lot of difficult stuff put out, these alien treaties and the so-called wars and fighting with aliens. And, you know, it's really very, very, very strange that two people are coming out at a similar time giving this stuff. But now, I did interject with the Brazilian situation. Let me now draw your mind to another situation. You might recall Admiral Byrd. He's the naval officer. He was specializing in polar exploration. And you remember at the beginning of the century, he was the guy that supposedly found the hollow earth.
Hollow earth.
He went across the North Pole and suddenly he found green grass and warm rivers and mammoths. And prehistoric animals, and he was taken inside.
Yeah, I remember this story.
That's right. And the Hollow Earth story continues today, and it was there before he even found it.
Mm.
And then everything was hushed up. No more talk about it, whatever. It became very quiet. But the point is that a recent Russian documentary, which is really released and translated by David Griffin, from Exopolitics UK.
Are you talking about Operation High Jump?
Operation High Jump, correct. Because High Jump, you know, the Americans, they say they send Byrd out to do an operation in the Antarctic where he took 68 vessels, 4,000 military personnel, and was really to sort of establish American sovereignty, ownership, you know, over a large area of the Antarctic.
Mm.
This was the main reason put forward by the U.S. military.
Oh, no, sorry. Let's interrupt a little because some of the audience may not know who is Admiral Byrd. Would you mind spend a little minute introduce the background of Admiral Byrd?
He was basically a U.S. naval officer, but he was specializing in exploration.
Mm.
He was one of these guys that would go out with a fleet of ships into the unknown and push against the unknown, and he went into the Antarctic, the Arctic, perhaps in the one sense to further the sovereignty, the control of America's influence, and to be the first one there, so to speak, and to find new things, perhaps new areas, new land, new resources. And as I say, he's the guy who actually found the so-called entrance to the Hollow Earth, the North Pole,
right.
But, you know, he was a well-respected naval officer. He was trusted with many tasks, and here he was. He was trusted to go down to Antarctic on the face of it with his group of vessels and 4,000 troops to survey an area, you know, almost as big as the United States. What this film actually reveals, on his way down there, they were attacked with casualties by UFOs.
UFOs.
Unidentified flying objects that looked like flying saucers. And they state could fly pole to pole. That means from North Pole to South Pole very, very fast. Mm. Okay? It might have just been an expression.
Yeah.
But the point is they were attacked by abnormal, unnormal objects out of the sky in this area. Now, the question is, what were they? Because, you know, there were casualties. These craft were advanced.
Okay, we saw a lot of pictures from the internet, or some of the pictures, some of them, maybe the painting, with a UFO flying in the sky. And the UFO, the shape, like what the George Adamski saw, and there's a Nazi logos on it.
Well, that's right. That's right. Well, there must have been an underlying reason.
Right.
We have to look at this, at perhaps what the real reason was they went down there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the real reasons was, you might know that the Nazis, during Nazi Germany, before the end of the war, the Nazis were busy down there creating underground bases. They wanted to create this, like what they call a Shangri-La, this heaven. Mm-hmm. Maybe they found some warm currents. They found, you know, melted ice. They had big caves. Maybe they put submarines in there. Maybe they concreted these bunkers out. Maybe they built underground cities. Maybe their scientists were very, very advanced. And maybe they'd conquered anti-gravity.
Mm.
Or maybe they used atomic engines to fly these saucers. Maybe they were German.
Mm.
Maybe they weren't UFOs from aliens.
Right.
Or maybe they were German with alien technology. Maybe there were ETs working with them. It's not impossible.
That's right.
Because this is, you know, a lot of this has been documented. There's a lot of research done on this that they found. I mean, the electromagnetic bell that the Nazis had. They were very advanced in anti-gravity, anti-gravitics, electromagnetism. In this film, there were two people who gave testimony in this Russian documentary. And one of them says as follows.
Mm.
He said, "My shipmates and I were in the pilot house on the left-hand side. And we observed several minutes bright lights that came down at 45 degrees from the sky very, very quickly.
Mm.
They couldn't ID the lights. They couldn't identify what they were because the radar was limited only to a certain distance. And then another lieutenant, flying pilot, also made a testimony in the film. And he said, the thing shot vertically out the water. That means straight up at tremendous speed.
Mm.
Almost like it was chased by the devil, and it flew between the masts of the ship at high speed, and the antennae, the aerials, were rocketing backwards and forwards from the turbulence. And, you know, they were talking about then seeing one of their major ships. They claimed the Maddox, the name of the ship, but it may or may not have been. But anyway, one of the big ships burst into flames and sunk. So what we're looking at here is testimony that something happened down there. Now, are we talking about aliens, as I say, aliens down in the Antarctic working with Nazis? Are we talking about just advanced German scientists that dug out this base in the Antarctic? Because even today, there are many, many people who believe that Hitler never died in the bunker.
That's what the rumors say.
That's what the rumors say. But rumors can be rumors, but rumors can be real. And that it is possible that some of the elite Germans were actually whistled down into these secret underground bases, under ice bases, into the Antarctic, where their technology could have continued. And if that happened in 1945, 46, 47, we're now 60, 70 years on, the technology could have really advanced to a level where even today they may have operative bases, you know, by Aryans, blonde-haired, blue-eyed humans that were perhaps the offspring of Nazis that could be flying around the Antarctic. We know that in Brazil that has been the case, that there have been groups of these Nazis that have been developing flying machines. They've got underground bases, etc. There's a lot of substantive reports confirming this.
Yeah, especially the technology of United States just pumped up so fast right after the war. A bunch of German Nazi scientists just disappear.
Right. Well, that was called Operation Paperclip. After the war, the Russians knew how advanced the Germans really were.
Right.
And the Americans, of course, knew how advanced the Germans were. And the Russians and the Americans joined together as allies to beat the Nazis.
Yeah.
And what happens afterwards, they carved up Germany, you know, East Germany, West Germany.
Right.
At the same time, there was a rush to take the technology. So there was an Operation Paperclip, where the Americans took, I don't know, maybe about 150, 160, 170 top German Nazis who were scientists, gave them residence in the States, took them in to NASA. Werner von Braun was one of them. He is the father of rocketry. He is the one who invented the V1, the V2, the buzz planes during the Second World War, the rockets. Brought them into the States, brought them into NASA, and that's where NASA grew. So the Nazis lost the war, but they won the battle, because they're alive and well today in NASA, and they are the ones who have really been developing and furthering a lot of this work undercover, secretly, in terms of electrogravitics, in terms of propulsion systems. And Werner von Braun was, of course, in charge. And he was deeply, deeply involved in NASA, and also in was aware of the associated politics. He was aware of secret government intentions, the way they were planning to exert more control on the rest of the world. He was aware of how they would use propaganda, brainwashing. He was aware how they would do it. And he became very, very worried, Werner von Braun. Very, very worried about the direction that by him liberating, releasing all this technology, which could release tremendous ability and influence on the rest of the world, right?
Right.
He became extremely depressed and extremely concerned. And one lady who was closely associated with him, is who I mentioned in the beginning, Dr. Carol Rosen. Dr. Carol Rosen knew him quite well, and they worked together. And just before Werner von Braun was sort of on his deathbed, before he was on his way out, he made a statement to her. And she released that statement on the Disclosure Project, Dr. Greer's Disclosure Project, in 2001. And I think you need to listen to it.
Neil said there is something we should listen, which is a testimony from Dr. Carol Rosen. Okay, here is her testimony.
Good morning. My name is Carol Rosen. In 1974, after being a sixth grade school teacher, I was introduced to the late Dr. Werner von Braun in the U.S., the father of rocketry. In my first meeting with him during that first 3.5 hours, he said to me, "Carol, you will stop the weaponization of space." And I said, "You know, teachers don't stop until June." He said, "No, you have to understand. This is February. And we have to prevent the weaponization of space, because there is a lie being told to everyone that the weaponization of space is now first being based upon the evil empire, the Russians. There are many enemies," he said, "against whom we're going to build this space-based weapon system, the first of whom was the Russians, which was existing at that time. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be third world countries. Now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids." And then he would repeat to me over and over, "And the last card, the last card, the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat." Well, at the time, I kind of laughed when he said asteroids, and when he said extraterrestrials, I knew I wasn't going to deal with that subject. And now we hear in the news just today, this week, that they've slid in another enemy. Only this time we're going to protect our satellites. In other words, we have to have some reason to spend these trillions, to waste these dollars on a space-based weapon system, and they're all lies.
Okay, guys, we hear what she said. She was just given her testimony at Disclosure Project with Dr. Stephen Greer sitting next to her. Okay, we are about time to hit to the break, and we will come back for more with Neil Glue at MJ13.